you feel exhausted by the constant news cycle? Like every headline is another blow. Every update is a reminder of how much work there is still to do. I get it. The issues that we're up against in California, from government overreach to broken policies, can feel overwhelming. It's heavy. And when change feels slow or like it's never coming at all, it's easy to wonder if staying informed and engaged is even worth it. If you've felt that weight lately, you're not alone. I'm your host, Tess Abraham, and I want to speak directly to that feeling and offer you some hope on this week's episode of The California Conversation. Welcome back to the show, and welcome to the start of summer. I hope it is starting to warm up wherever you are. Here in Southern California, we've already hit the 90s a few times, so it definitely feels like spring has come and gone, and we're more than ready to soak in some California sunshine. Speaking of summer, my husband and I have a fun trip coming up, and I'll actually be out of the country over the next few weeks. But don't worry, I've got you covered. I've pre-recorded a special summer series, so you will still get your weekly dose of California politics right here every Tuesday. Plus, there's even more content over on my YouTube channel, so make sure to go check that out if you haven't already. Now, to kick off the summer season, I wanted to switch things up a bit. I know that the topics that we cover here each week can be heavy. California politics can be frustrating, especially for conservatives. We're constantly up against serious challenges, from parental rights to criminal justice reform to rising inflation. And while I genuinely love diving into these issues and sharing what I learn with you, I'll admit, some weeks it can feel exhausting. The negative headlines, the discouraging policies, it all takes a toll. But here's the thing. I do not want us to burn out. I want you to feel energized by the importance of staying informed and empowered to keep pushing for change. So I've put together something a little different, a summer series focused on the wins. That's right. Not all California political news is bad news. There have actually been some encouraging updates on issues that we have covered together, real tangible wins for conservatives. So over the next 3 weeks, we're going to spotlight those victories. I want to remind you that your voice matters. Change is happening and your engagement is making a difference. Today, let's take a moment to reset. Let's remind ourselves why this work matters, why we stay informed, and why we keep showing up week after week to fight for a better California. Now, a few weeks ago, I posted a video over on my YouTube channel breaking down a new poll of likely California voters. The results surprised a lot of people. It showed a pretty noticeable shift: growing concern over crime, illegal immigration, and gender ideology, and nearly half of those polled said that they were open to voting for a Republican governor in 2026, which is just crazy for California. That video took off, and while many of you were encouraged, the backlash also came very fast. I saw comments calling it delusional, propaganda, a pipe dream. People insisted California is too far gone, voters here never change, and that talking about a conservative future for the state is just wishful thinking. So my question is it naive to believe that California can change? Is it a waste of time to engage in politics here? Should conservatives engage in politics in California? And if so, why? Now, that's a big question. I could probably give you a dozen different answers, but I want to focus on what I believe are the most compelling reasons. And before I get into that, I need to make one thing clear. There's one reason you should not engage in politics, and that is to get the outcome that you want. Now, I know that sounds strange, maybe even a little crazy. Of course, I want to see the kinds of changes that I talk about on this show actually happen. So if we're not doing this for results, then what are we doing it for? But here's my point. If outcomes are your only motivation, you will not last. You're going to burn out. You'll get discouraged. You'll watch the headlines and the election results and start believing the lie that your voice doesn't matter, that California is too far gone, that none of this makes a difference. And when that happens, you'll quietly join the chorus in my comments section saying, "This is pointless. Nothing will ever change." Because here's the truth. While outcomes matter, they can't be the foundation. We aren't driven by results alone. We're driven by conviction, by truth, by duty. We talk about that every week here on this show. We're driven by the belief that staying in the fight matters even when the results are slow, painful, or uncertain. And that's ultimately because we're driven by reasons that are much deeper than simply outcomes. So let's talk about what some of those deeper reasons are. First of all, we engage because we can. The very fact that we can engage in politics is a rare and extraordinary privilege. Now, I know I've said this countless times before on the show. You might be tired of hearing it, but I think it's worth repeating because the more familiar that it sounds, the easier it is for us to take for granted. America has some of the strongest protections for free speech in the world, especially when it comes to politics. We can't forget that or overlook it. We are free to criticize our leaders, to protest in public spaces, and to speak out on controversial or unpopular issues. That's crazy. In countries like Germany or the UK, hate speech laws place limits on political expression. In places like Russia or China, dissent can land you in prison. But here, Americans can form political organizations. We can form advocacy groups or even nonprofits without fear of shutdown or surveillance. We can also contact our elected officials directly by phone, email, or in person. And they're expected to listen to us. That's also really crazy if you stop to think about it. We have direct access to the people who govern our lives. In many authoritarian regimes, that kind of access is either meaningless or it's impossible. And our political system gives us as citizens unusual influence. Think about it. We don't just vote for presidents. We vote for judges, for sheriffs, for school boards, for ballot measures, and even for state constitutional amendments. That level of direct democracy is almost unheard of internationally. What's my point? Why does this matter? Well, because these rights, free speech, free press, free elections, they are rare in human history. Billions of people today live under regimes where dissent is punished, where elections are rigged, and where they have to stay silent just to survive. When people stop using their rights, governments stop feeling accountable. Democracies don't just collapse from political coups. They erode when citizens grow indifferent. That is when power can consolidate and when people begin to believe that their voice doesn't matter. You see, freedom isn't self-sustaining. Freedom requires engagement. It demands vigilance. To put it as Thomas Jefferson once said, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. So we engage in politics, even when we're frustrated by the outcomes, in order to honor and protect the very freedoms that allow us to do so, because we recognize that if we don't use them, we will lose them. Second, we engage because we're hopeful. We stay engaged not just because we can, but because we know that meaningful change is slow and hard won. We don't keep going just out of obligation alone. We keep going because we realize that the best outcomes in history have come through long and determined effort. As John Adams said, patience and perseverance have a magical effect before which difficulties disappear. Martin Luther King Jr. reminded us that change does not roll in on the wheels of inevitability, but comes through continuous struggle. And John F. Kennedy said plainly, injustice, poverty, slavery, ignorance, these may be solved by reform, but only if we do not flinch from the struggle. I love that. Progress comes in inches, not miles. If we only show up when things go our way, we will never build anything that lasts. We see that democracy can't be about instant wins. It's always been about persistence, sacrifice, shaping society over time. Another anecdote that I've mentioned before, but that I think is worth repeating, is about the women's suffrage movement. Susan B. Anthony spent more than 50 years fighting for the right to vote. She was arrested, she was ridiculed, and she was ignored. She died in 1906, 14 years before the 19th Amendment was ratified. She never saw the result of her life's work, but because she didn't give up, I and millions of other women can vote today. There are so many other stories like this. The civil rights movement in the US, the ongoing struggle for education rights under authoritarian regimes all across the world. These are all slow, uphill battles that felt impossible at the time, but changed the world in the long run. So we stay in the fight, not because it's easy, but because we recognize that it's necessary. Because if we walk away, that doesn't solve anything. It just delays the day when things can be better. And speaking of things getting better, your skincare routine can get a whole lot less toxic with the use of Amalo's tallow products. Amalo is a small family business dedicated to providing clean and quality products that you can feel good about putting on your body. They value using well-sourced, high-quality ingredients, evidenced by the fact that their products use grass-fed, grass-finished tallow, organic sweet almond oil, and 100% pure and organic essential oils. Tallow actually closely resembles the structure of the human skin, meaning that it absorbs easily without clogging pores. It helps to lock in moisture and create a protective barrier preventing water loss. This is especially beneficial for dry, sensitive, or damaged skin. I've been using Amalo's Tallow products for over a year and I love them. I only recently tried their new vanilla latte scent and it seriously smells exactly like a vanilla latte. I even have my husband hooked on their products. So if you're ready to make the switch and want the beautiful, healthy glow, go to amalo.com/TessAbraham or click the link below to get 15% off your order. They have so many products like clean perfume, goat milk soap, and lip gloss. So go check it all out at amalo.com/TessAbraham. That's AMALLOW.com/TessAbraham to get 15% off and to support the show. But getting back to California. Now, too often I hear two dominant narratives from conservatives when it comes to California, and you may have heard them as well. The first narrative says, forget it. California is too far gone. Pack up, move to Texas or Florida or Tennessee and enjoy life under Republican leadership. Don't waste your time fighting a battle that you can't win. The second view says, if you do stay, don't expect much. You're stuck in a liberal state. There's no point in trying to make a difference. What did you really expect was going to happen? Just keep your head down and live your life. But I want to persuade you that those are false choices. That's not the full picture. You don't have to leave and you don't have to give up. Now, if you decide to move to another state, that's okay. At the end of the day, you have to do what's right for your family, your finances, and your future. Some people just cannot afford to stay in California, and that is totally valid. There's no moral obligation to stay and fight for this state. But for many of us, moving isn't simple or even desirable. It might be family, work, roots in the community, or in my case, our church. My husband and I could probably buy a house somewhere else. We could live in a red state with better governance and find more political alignment with what we believe in. But we stay in California because our church community is our home. It's where we feel called to serve by the Lord. It's where we want to raise our kids and build our lives. So here's the third option, the one that we don't hear enough about. You can stay and make change. You don't have to run a retreat. And quite frankly, I don't think we should be okay with just writing off entire parts of our country as lost causes. If we truly believe that our values are good, that they lead to flourishing, safety, dignity, and freedom, then we have to fight for them everywhere, especially in the places that need them the most. Think about it like a serious illness. If you had cancer, you weren't going to obsess over your skincare routine or how many steps you're getting in. You're not going to ignore the root cause and focus on superficial symptoms. Instead, you would get to the root of the problem and you would treat it urgently with clarity and determination. California isn't just a state. It's a battleground for the very soul of our nation. It shapes culture, law, technology, and policy far beyond its borders. That means that any dysfunction here won't stay here. It spreads. And if we care about our country, then we can't afford to look away from what we see as the sickest part. If we all just leave California, then that won't change any of that. So if we do stay, we should engage. We should fight, not because it's easy, but because we understand what's at stake. You don't just abandon something when it's broken. You treat it. You root out what's killing it, and you hold on to hope for healing. And California is the same way. Now, at the end of the day, what is this all really about? What's the core reason, the one that underlies every argument that we've made so far for why we should care about politics in California? Well, it's this. Politics affect people. They affect you, they affect me, they affect everyone around us. And if we care about people, our neighbors, our families, our communities, then we have to care about politics because politics shape the world that they live in every day. Do you think that politics don't matter because they don't affect your day-to-day life? That, my friend, is a dangerous illusion. Politics absolutely affect your life. And more importantly, they affect the lives of the people around you. We see every single week on this show that the policies that we live under shape everything. The laws we follow, the freedoms we enjoy, the opportunities that we have or that we don't have. That's why we fight for good policy, because policy impacts real people in real ways. From criminal justice to public safety, from inflation to cost of living, from how you raise your children to how you live out your faith, all of it is shaped by political decisions. The kind of car you're allowed to drive, the medical choices you're permitted to make, even the curriculum that your kids are exposed to, all of it comes down to politics. And even if you don't personally feel the effects right now, I guarantee you that someone close to you does. Your neighbor, your coworker, your church member, your friend, someone is living the consequences of bad policy. So we don't engage just for the sake of argument or ideology. We engage because we care about people. And if you care about people, you can't afford to ignore the policies that shape their lives. Every story that we cover on this show, every headline that you read about of the next thing happening in California is a direct result of the policy positions taken by our leaders in government. Parents are losing their children because of our state's stances on gender ideology. Babies, real human babies, are being murdered in the womb because of our state's abortion protections. California residents live in fear of violent crime because our criminal justice system allows criminals to walk freely and refuses to hold them accountable for their crimes. Schools are being sued by our attorney general because they don't want to teach curriculum that goes against their community's values and beliefs. Farmers are losing their land or moving out of California because they aren't supported in our state. Cities are overrun with homeless populations because the policy positions taken on the issue are ineffective. Billions of taxpayer dollars are wasted fueling a budget deficit because of radical overspending. And every single day, families, especially families of faith, question more and more how long they will be able to endure here. Policy is absolutely affecting people, and you engage with it by either actively opposing it or inadvertently supporting it. So yes, politics matter in every state, for every person, because justice matters, because truth matters, and because the people around you matter. Circling back around to the questions I asked at the beginning of the show, is it naive to believe that California can change? Is it a waste of time to engage in politics here? You already know my answer. No. Absolutely not. We engage because we can. We engage because we have hope. We engage because California matters. And we engage ultimately because people matter. It is not pointless to care about California. It is essential. It is not foolish to stay and engage. It's faithful. And it is not naive to believe that this state can change. It's courageous. So the work is slow. The road is long, but I believe that it's worth it. And if you're still here listening, then I think you do too. Let's keep going together. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I hope it was informative and that you feel refreshed, encouraged, and inspired to keep engaging in politics. You can follow me on social media at It's Tess Abraham. You can find video content related to the podcast on my YouTube channel, and you can find out more about the podcast at thecaliforniaconversation.com. I'll see you back here next week to start looking at some of the recent wins in California politics on another episode of The California Conversation.